Hey there, and thanks for tuning in to episode 24 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we have David and Scott back for another episode of They Don't Do That in Europe. For this week's episode, we are doing our awards show. We're going to go through seven different categories from the past cyclocross season, the 2015-2016 season. Say, you know, have a discussion over what we thought was the best, maybe the worst, all the controversy, all the great stuff. It's about a tight hour of cyclocross goodness. So let's get into that right now. They Don't Do That in Europe. Crosshairs Radio, episode 24.
All right, we are back with another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe. With me, as usual, David, Mr. David Palin. David.
Good. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
Afternoon.
Konnichiwa. I mean, yes. Arigato. I am.
We're recording this at almost 9 o'clock p.m., which is not our usual time, but.
We're not usually awake at this time. We're old men.
And also on the line with us from In the Crosshairs. CX hairs, whatever, all the hair stuff. Bill Shiken, Bill.
Good morning.
Still on Japan time, Bill?
Yeah.
So speaking of Japan, Bill.
Yeah.
How was Japan?
Japan was awesome. I loved it.
I bet. I saw the pictures. It looked awesome. How was the race?
The race was really cool. It was the most sand I've ever seen at a race. It was half of the course was on the beach.
Wow.
And then the other half was this little like wooded section, and it wasn't a UCI race, so it was like a meter and a half in a lot of places with these tiny little like off cambers everywhere, and it had rained the night before, so it was all slick. So, you know, it made it interesting, especially in the elite race, because it was a decision between, you know, wanting file treads for the sand versus wanting a little more grip for that little wooded section. But
yeah, that sounds cool.
It was a
man.
Fun race. It was a fun awesome. Race. And they're into it. There is definitely
We always hear that they pull a pretty decent crowd over there. How was that? Was the crowd pretty decent?
So it was a 2-day race. Sunday was the two, you know, the women's and the men's elite races. And then all day Saturday and most of Sunday was all amateur races. Huge crowds for both.
Sweet.
I mean, just big crowds, like just, you know, professional media there. You know, they were like media credentials for the Saturday race. You know, it was just like
wow. Nuts.
Yeah. So, and then TV coverage for the Sunday race, really nice TV coverage for the Sunday race. It is a strong cyclocross culture in
awesome.
Japan.
What was the weather like there?
It was insane. Well, I mean, no, it wasn't insane. It was sort of like the weather that we get now. So when we got there, it was probably in the 30s, 40s, race day, 75. To the point that Powers was really struggling with the heat.
Yeah,
I mean, that really, really crushed him. You know, he had to go really deep to get that win, and a lot of it had to do with the heat, where him and Zach McDonald both – before the race, you know, got out the scissors and cut their sleeves off of their skin suits.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow. I was going to ask you something. Oh, and you said, speaking of crowds, you were just telling us you sold out your merchandise.
Yeah, it was great.
That's always good.
Lots of Svenness fans there, which was always, always just,
excellent.
I mean, it's awesome, but it's always surreal.
Did they ask you, did you get the question, when's the next Svenness coming out?
I did. Yes, of course.
There's nowhere you can go where they're doing that.
There is not a corner of the world that I can hide.
did they critique your music choice?
No. Oh, I did get a question about the music when we were doing the Q&A at the Rafa Cycle Club when me and Powers did a presentation there, and yeah, I got a music question, which was good. I liked it.
Nice.
Well, guys, we are here to do our kind of like our season wrap up, but I mean, you never know. We'll do a show whenever we feel like it, but it's kind of like our season wrap up where we do our awards, our real important, are they really awards? Was that what you think, that's a good word?
Let's stick with awards. The award show.
So we have what?
It's award season.
Yeah. Seven categories that we give out, that we gave out last year. We're going to do the same seven that we did last year. And you guys, like, refreshed on what those seven are, right?
Yes.
All right.
Scott was very good. He actually went back and listened to last year's show.
Which was amazing, by the way. People should go back and check it out. It is Cyclocross Today, episode 34 on cyclocrossnetwork.com. Go check that out.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you guys ready to get started then?
Let's do it.
Our first category that we have is Best Course Feature. And I believe this was a category that was sent in by a listener. So Best Course Feature. Last year, I don't know if you guys remember, we had the Silver Surfer with the hairpin turn. I think that was a popular choice that we were talking about. But who wants to go first for this year, 2015-16 Best Course Feature? Bill, you go first.
All right. I'm going to give what – I don't know, maybe an obvious one.
I think I know what it is.
The uphill off cambers at Zolder.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just always a favorite feature. One of my favorite features in cyclocross, period, any year. And then this year, the importance that section played, not only in the how far can my foot go through your spokes and wheel lap, but also the laps after that between Wout and Lars on, you know, which line was going to be faster and which line decided. And that really played a part in that dynamic for the end of that race. So always loved that section. It was the first Svenness ever, just on that one little section. So yeah, uphill off cambers at Zolder.
Yeah. And going into that decision to go high or low on that part right there keeps you on the edge of your seat every time around that course, and yeah, it's hard to argue. David, did you have the same or a different pick?
Well, I had the same. I also had the descent there. It's older.
Yeah, where the Vandehar descent.
The Vandehar descent, which may or may not come up later in this award show. But I also have the drainage ditch, and Bill, help me out because I'm not sure I remember which race it was. But right after the pits, there's this like long drainage pit ditch that was running perpendicular to the course, and everyone was taking the bike on the shoulder and jumping across this until later in the race, when I think it was Tom Mason started bunny hopping the ditch.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to pull the race, but I didn't know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And ultimately, actually, I think a lot of the race is one of my favorite features is when you come out of the pits and riding the bike is not the optimum choice. You know, like sometimes they go right up into a stairs or muddy on a climb or something. When they take the bike on the shoulder, that's a nice feature.
And that was going to be one of my suggestions is, yeah, I think it was like just recently was the Svenice, the GP Svenice, Bill, if I'm wrong, where they have that really steep green set of stairs right off the pit.
Yes.
Yep.
And you had to choose to either pit at the end of the pit and take the bike on the shoulder, or some people were pitting at the very beginning of the pit, riding through the pit and then dismounting again and running up the stairs that way. So I think that was one on my list. My pick is I'm going to go with the grooved lane at Namur. I thought that was really good. I thought this year that played a big part in, especially in the men's race. I think when I went back and looked at that a little bit, there was it was really varied as to who was running it and who was riding it from lap to lap. And I think, and I know we've seen that feature before, it's nothing new, but I think this year it played particular, had an impact on the outcome of that race, and or at least how people were racing it. So that's going to actually be my pick for this year, is that grooved lane at Namur. What do you guys think?
I think that's, yeah, and it's another one of those classic features when you think about European cyclocross. That's one of those that comes to mind.
Yes, yes.
So. I also would just throw in there, just for the beauty of it, the forest and Zolder.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could almost pick the entire Zolder course.
Well, that's that is a foreshadowing for something in my choice in one of our other categories. I do have one other section, but it also plays into our next category as well.
All right. Well, speaking of the next category, let's move on if you guys are ready. Best lap of the season. Now, We got a lot of good laps we can talk about. David, you go first this time. Best lap of the season. Go for it.
You know, it seems, and I hate to, it is Worlds. It is because perhaps it's kind of stuck in my mind and everyone is going at it. But Lars Vandehaar on that final lap when he's trying to hold everyone off, especially coming down that descent that we were talking about earlier, trying to hold off the chase.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue. That's just incredible. Incredible, yeah.
But I did throw in there kind of as a 1A, friend of podcasts, friend of CX hairs, Amanda Nauman's first lap of Nats this year.
Oh, good
call. Was
not
too shabby.
Yeah, that's a good call. I didn't think about that one, but that's a great call, man. Bill, what did you have for this one?
Well, I think that definitely the Lars and Wout duel at the end of Worlds is right up there. I think that Thalita De Jong charging back through the whole field in the women's race, definitely up there. But if I had to choose one, I'm going with another Lars.
You're
going to
pick the same one as me.
Another Lars-Wout head-to-head duel where Lars actually came out ahead, and it's the European Championship final lap was amazing. And it was where we saw Lars Vandehaar's technical superiority. And that sounds like a weird thing to say because we always give him a hard time. But especially in descending, and much like he did at Zolder, he beat Wout on technique in the final lap of the European Championships. And it's a race that I don't think a ton of people have seen, but it's probably on YouTube at this point. If you go back and watch that race, one, it's just nuts. And, you know, going back to best course feature, they had that chicken run section where, you know, where you could take the hot line that, you know, you had to launch yourself off of, or you could go, you know, another second around. And that's Lars was just crushing that. And then just, you know, a lot more descents and sand and everything. It was a really exciting race. And I really, you know, and that was the one thing out of Wout's perfect season that didn't make it perfect. He did not win the European Championship. That went to Lars. And it was, it was just an amazing finish to that race.
Awesome, awesome pick. You did not pick the same one that I did, though, thankfully. I'm going to go with the final lap at Kokshida. Sven Nys, Wout van Aert. Sven Nys's 50th and final World Cup win. I remember when we were talking about that on the show, that lap where he and Wout are out together. They trade the lead, I think, two or three times during the course of that lap. And the way that thing sets up at the very, the final mud straight.
That mud straight,
going into that final turn when Wout goes to the left, Sven to the right, as from their point of view, and they're coming straight onto the camera.
Just so cinematic. It's like
you're
a movie.
Just like, yeah, exactly. You're just like, oh my God, oh my God. And they hit the turn. Sven, of course, has the inside on the turn, takes the lead and takes the win. I just think with all the drama, you know, that being his last one, you know, last World Cup win like that, that's going to be my pick for best lap of the season.
Cannot argue with that.
Choice.
Yeah. Those are three great choices, guys. I mean, we did that category proud.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
We get the award for best category.
All right. Those are two great categories. I love those categories. But now we really get in where we start, like, going a little bit crazy. So this category is titled Most Surprising Rider. Now, we use the word surprising. It doesn't have to be like, you know, oh, hey, this person came out of nowhere. But just someone who did a little bit better than we kind of expected this year. I'm going to go first this time. And I actually cheated a little bit because I chose two.
It's okay.
One man, one woman. For the first one I picked was Eli Easerby. I think to expect him to come out this season, first season in the U23, and just kill it like he did, was very surprising to me. I did not think he would. I thought he would do well. He would do fine and be respectable all season long. But to come out and win as many races as he did and then top it off with winning Worlds, I think, big surprise. So he's going with my other pick for most surprising rider, and I hope I don't step on any of you guys, is Caroline Mani. I think, you know, with she had great World Cup races, finishing, you know, really high in the standings the whole time, and then getting the, you know, the great Worlds ride. She is my second pick, and I could not pick between the two, so I just went with both.
I think that's fair. Those are two good right. choices.
Yep. Right. Bill, you go next.
All right. Well, I also had Ellie Easerbeat on my list. I was going to go negative on this one. okay. And my most surprising rider of the year was Klaus Van Tornout.
Okay,
In that, you know, hopefully there was something going on and we'll see him back, but I think this may have been the beginning of the end for Klaus, and it's sort of sad to see. The guy, you know, won the Belgian National Championship the year before, had a great season, and then just you can see how quickly it turns just from success to just not being able to get it together. And again, he did have some health issues, didn't know really what was going on, didn't feel great the whole season, so maybe this is just a blip. And he'll be back next year, but that was a surprise, especially after last year's performance, that he was no longer up near the top.
Yeah, that's a good pick, going the opposite way with it, even though the next category is kind of takes us there. I'm interested now to see what you pick for the next category. But David, most surprising rider.
You know,
he lets out a sigh. Ugh.
Because I have Amanda there again, but I'm really thinking, like, I was really going with Lawrence Sweek this year.
Is not a bad choice. He was on my list.
He, just with what he did to end the season, because it started like mid-season, I'm thinking, okay, this is the Lawrence Sweek. His MO is he's going to go out hard at the beginning of the race, lead for two laps, and blow up. And each time he started doing that, he'd make it a few more laps.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
And then at the end of the year, he was in contention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I'd give that to – that was quite a surprise to me.
Yeah. No, I think that's – like I said, that's a totally legit pick. And, Bill, did you just let the dog out?
Yes. Could you hear that?
That's what happens when you record this late in the evening.
Hey, you know, life goes on.
That's right.
I agree. Yeah, Lawrence Sweek is a great one. And, you know, he reminds me a little bit of, and it's another guy that seems to be going in the opposite direction, but in years past, the trajectory that somebody like Walsleben made.
Yeah.
He would be great in the first couple laps, and then, you know, it's like 2 years ago, and then every once in a while he'd start creeping up, and then he was just getting on every podium by the end of the year.
Yeah, true.
But I think Swick's going to be around for a while. He's going to
– Yeah.
We're going to have a triumvirate.
I'm really curious to see what he does next year. He's one of the guys I'm really curious about for next season, so.
And I'm hoping for a different helmet for next season.
somebody was saying that, you know, you get rid of that triangle on the front and it would look a lot better.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. None of us sound too convinced. All right, let's move on to the fourth category. This category is titled Looking for a Comeback. And this is people who we want to see coming back next year. We think they might come back next year and kind of exceed the expectation that they maybe had after their performance this year. Bill, I think it is your turn to go first. Looking for a comeback from...
Well, I mean, Klaus would be a nice one, but I think there are two obvious ones. I will just choose one of them, that it's going to be awesome to see Marianne Vos back.
Oh, yep. Great
She
choice.
Was top of my list too, Bill.
I didn't even think of Marianne Vos. Yeah.
And you know, right with her would be her teammate, Pauline Ferrand-Prevot.
Sure.
So that, you know, from a exciting year in the women's field where, you know, Sonia Kant definitely was the woman to beat, maybe not for the whole season, but at least for the part of the season when they race and they're back, there's going to be a different dynamic next year. And it's just going to be great to see Vos out there again. She handled her time away from racing as classy as you would expect her to, was putting in some time in the commentating booth and just being the ambassador we expect her to be for cycling.
Yeah. Great pick. David.
Well, in addition to Marianne Vos, I put Helen in there. Helen Wyman.
Okay.
She had an okay season this year, but there were, for a number of reasons, in the, nothing particular across the board, but, you know, something yet seemed to come up at a number of the, each races. I'm expecting to see more. I'm hoping to see more next year.
Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to think that she's peaked out and now, you know, at the edge of retirement.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would love to see her come back and, you know, get another podium at Worlds. I mean, that would be great. I would love to see that from Helen. All right, so I went with a youngster this year who it's hard. Comeback is a little bit not really the best word, but I'm going with Michael Vanternout. The guy had the worst luck of anyone this season. Do you guys remember the one crash? It was during, it was actually during the Kokesider race when Nice and Wout were racing the lap before the last lap, and there was the guy that they had to ride around who was injured on the course.
Yeah, that was
Michael Vanternout. Then he, you know, and then of course at the end of the season we saw his wheel basically crumble underneath him.
That was insane.
Oh my God!
He broke that thing in three spots.
Yes, and then there was at least two other races where he had really untimely mechanicals and was basically out of the race. So, from a luck, I'm just thinking of it from a luck standpoint. The kid has got to have better luck next year, and I think if he did have better luck, he would have a better season as a whole. So I'm really hoping and looking for a comeback from Michael Vanternout for next year.
I think throwing in two honorable mentions, American women in there. One, Ellie Anderson, who seemed to start to get back into the groove by the end of this. I mean, she was there last weekend. You know,
yeah,
she stuck around
really late. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that she seems re-energized, and we can look for big things from her next year. Also, you know, the most decorated cyclocross racer in United States history had a probably not the season that she wanted this year. Katie Compton had one second place in a World Cup, you know, won nationals again. But other than that, you know, probably not the season she was looking for, is looking for a ride next year. You know, still going to be on Trek bikes, but they're not fully supporting her. So I'd love to see, at least one more comeback year from Katie Compton.
Yeah, now she was a popular pick last year. I think last year between the three of us, we picked Katie Compton and Sven Nys. What do you guys think? Do you think the two of them came back to at what we were expecting?
Go, David.
I would say that Sven certainly kind of exceeded what we would have expected from, or certainly what I would have expected from him this year.
I agree.
And Katie, no, I don't think so.
I agree with that too. Bill?
I think that Sven would have liked to have one more win, but to get Kokesider, and especially at that race, which, you know, arguably is the biggest monument in cyclocross, to win that and have that be his 50th on this final year, definitely, you know, made his last season one that he's happy with.
And
he's a guy that, you know, is going out on top and is going to be hanging out in the pits with Niels next year, leading the Telenet team. So
yeah, it's gonna be cool.
You know, and I have to say, when Sven said he was gonna race another season, I was a little bit, I don't know if nervous is the right word. Actually, I wasn't nervous at all, but I thought that this could be a mistake because, based on last year, he was kind of done.
Yeah,
and sure. One thing that I hate to see is professional athletes that stay a year too long.
Yeah.
And it certainly was looking like he was going to be staying 2 years too long. And well, to see the year that he ended up having this year made it all worthwhile and made it obvious that it was the right decision for him. He did a lot for his reputation to come back another year and race another year and be as competitive as he was all year.
The crazy thing about his year is that I think it was earlier in the season when he was maybe on one of his Mallorca trips or whatever else, he's like, I'm putting out my best power numbers that I put out in my career.
Yeah,
so part of it, and he was still up there. I mean, the guy was always in races that he was in, he was always top five, right? So you got these two, three kids out there who are just, you know, above and beyond what we've ever seen there. You know, between Wout and Matthew Vanderpool, this is just like, we haven't seen anything like it, like those two. And they're obviously putting out these numbers and just, you know, this output that nobody can match. So get rid of those two. Sven's winning races this year.
True.
Yep.
But at the same time, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, he feel at the end of this season, I feel much more like, okay, it's time for the next generation to take over. You know what I mean? Versus last year, I didn't really feel that way. This year, I really get the sense of, okay, the next generation is ready to take over, and here we go, and this is a good way to end this, and now we're on to the next generation.
And it's going
to
be exciting. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you throw in a guy like Michael Vanthernote. You throw in, of course, Lars Vanderhaar. You know, now you got a bunch of young guys who could be Sweek, you know. So you got a bunch of young guys that can all be racing at the front and give us some really entertaining races, I think, coming.
Plus, we may have Lars Boom coming back full-time.
There you go. How exciting would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's shopping around for a cyclocross ride for the full season.
He could totally come in and be just legit from the beginning to end and just be awesome. I would love to see that.
What on the flip side of that, what do you guys think about Van Aert wanting to win Paris-Roubaix?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
I did not see that, but it would be it'd be great, yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's great. I don't know. Do you all know how, like, logistically, how would that work?
Meaning, on a team?
Yeah. How does he get on that? How does he get into that race?
I mean,
can you have at that for a World Tour team? Can you have like a guest rider? I don't know. I'm showing my ignorance here. Can you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, I guess technically he could pick up, you know, get a... Well, with
those races, you figure there are all those wild card Belgian teams.
Yeah.
So maybe like one of those, so it wouldn't be on a World Tour team. Because I think the World Tour teams, roster-wise, are pretty locked down and contracts
and
minimums and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, sure, there's a way that, you know, a guy like that could get in. I'm sure, you know.
He could just pirate it and jump in the middle.
That would be amazing.
Do the Rosie Ruiz.
Exactly.
The Rosie Ruiz of cycling. All right. If people don't know, go look up who Rosie Ruiz is. We're not going to get it. All right. Next category.
I don't think there's any subways from on that
technically
route.
Technically not really the same because the expectation was he would jump in and race the whole thing.
Right.
Otherwise, you just jump in at the velodrome at the end.
Well, this is a good segue because we are at the next category. David, you're going to go first, and this is most controversial moment.
Do we even have to talk about this?
We even have? Is there even a discussion here?
Here's where I am on it. To me, that is so much not even part of a discussion point. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to give it any media attention if that's what we are.
What are you trying to say, David?
I'm trying to say the most controversial moment that I'm thinking of happened in Australia.
Oh, the wheel grab.
Oh,
that's a good
man.
Pick, man.
Nice one.
A little bit esoteric, perhaps. But I don't want to. Go ahead. You guys want to talk about Belgium and you want to talk about, you know, go ahead.
Parakeets?
No, I think that's a good legit pick because there was a lot of discussion at the time around what should happen to these two guys. You know, after that happened at the Australian Nationals.
Somebody explain what happened so if people aren't up on their Australian cyclocross news.
So
cyclocross from Australia.
Go ahead, David. Do you want to explain it?
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Jungle Ward and who was it? What's the other guy's name? I'm drawing a blank. Jungle Ward and the other guy. I can't think of his name. I know... Sean Cooley from Australian CX Mag is going to kill me because I can't think of it.
It was Paul Vanderplug, by the way.
Yeah, Vanderplug, yes. And there was a wheel grab at the end. There was some shouldering, pushing into posts, and then it ended up with a wheel grab at the end, and they kind of one of them went on and won, and it was a big thing of should they have both just been disqualified, and the third-place rider got in the win, who was Gary Milburn. It was very controversial at the time. I remember that. So that was good. That's a good pick. Bill, are you going to go with the motor doping?
Well, now that I've been shamed out of it, I'm quickly trying to think of a different one. I'm going to say the UCI's inability to enforce its rule, and I'm thinking mostly about the new 180 rule.
Oh, with the triangle turns.
With the triangle turns, where you had the French World Cup, where it just was thrown out the door. Even looking at, I was looking at highlights from Ball today, and same thing. Even at the Sven Nys, GP Sven Nys, they're, you know, just 180s with one post at the end, and it's like, A, I don't know the reason for the rule. B, if you're gonna have a rule, have a rule. And it's always the frustration that we have with these rules. And maybe in the U.S. we just, for whatever reason, get like hung up on these things more than other places who just let it roll. But it was the same thing with the pits. It was the same thing with the pits years ago or 3 years ago when, you know, you could have a foot down or you couldn't have a foot down or you had to take a bike or you didn't have to take a bike. And then, you know, the year after that with the you could take a feed or you can't take a feed. And now with these 180s where you can have a 180 or you can't have a 180, it's just like make a rule and enforce it.
Stick with it. Yeah. I think I thought I could see on several courses here, even at the end of the season this year, where you could see where someone had quickly done a triangle to because maybe a commissaire or someone had said, hey, you got to fix this. Where they had, like, you know, you could see where the original course was, and then they just took some tape, pounded in a post, and made it into a triangle because it looked, you know, someone had said some, like, a last-minute repair. So, but, yeah, I don't understand why they can't all be that way. I don't understand why it's not like that. So, yeah, that's a good pick. My pick, if we're not going to go with the motor doping, I'm gonna go with Watergate at Rochester.
Yes.
Yeah,
kind of similar to what you're talking
about. I was like, that was last year. No, that was this year.
you can't have a water bottle on your B-bike if you don't start with one. What? What is that about? That's craziness. And then, you know, the whole watering zone, which is an officials can do. They can create a feed zone if they want to. So it just created a lot of confusion and craziness right at the beginning of the season. Glad to see it all got ironed out and everything. I think we'll see at the beginning of next season when we get some more 80 or 90 degree days. How was the water in Japan, Bill? Did they just ride with bottles or what'd they do?
Some were definitely riding with bottles, and it wasn't an issue because you didn't have to shoulder your bike the whole course.
Right.
So it wasn't a big deal. So you could have a bottle cage with no penalty, you know, and even thinking about this year, I'm like, man, it's such a long season. Montreal was this year. There's another big controversy from this year, having a World Cup that all of a sudden disappears in the 11th hour.
Off the schedule. Yeah, that's another good one. That's another good one. So, as always, this category will have to stay because, I mean, when I first started thinking, I'm like, well, nothing really happened this year. But now, you know, look at this. We come up with four, not even mentioning the biggie, we came up with four just like that. So, all right, yeah, good picks, guys. So, all right, our next category is CXer of the year. So what this category is this is a person, and I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if I typed it in the thing, but we did one for every category. So we did
you typed it in there.
I did. Okay. So yeah. We did an elite man, elite woman, a U23, a junior, and we should add a U23 woman this year too. So, but it basically embodies what a cyclocross racer is. It doesn't have to be somebody who, you know, wins worlds or anything like that. It can just be somebody who did something that impressed you to make you think, yeah, this is what a cyclocross racer is and is about. So it is my turn to go first, I believe. So should I just do all mine? What do you guys think?
Let's go through them one at a time.
Yeah, let's go on.
Okay. All right, but we got to do them relatively quickly. For elite men, I picked Sven Nys. I think this year what Sven Nys did, he shows this is the way you can end a career with style, with class. Just awesome what he did this year. And I think Sven Nys, to me, over his career and over this season, embodied what a CX racer is, in my opinion. And he's my pick for this year. David.
Well, can I go first this one?
Go.
I'd like Sven Nys. I mean, I really do. I think it's a great choice for all the reasons. That said, Wout Van Aert, not only did he finish at the top, He also, you know, he raced a full and thorough season and really stuck it out through all the weather and all of the different courses. He showed himself to be the top of the sport.
Yeah, excellent pick. Excellent pick. Bill.
I'm also going with Van Aert. I think that he was able to start in September with Cross Vegas and just have an amazing streak where he won, what, 8 in a row, 9 in
yeah.
a row, won like 12 of 13. It wasn't until Vanderpool came back and all of a sudden Vanderpool, strongest guy out there, winning 4 straight World Cups, just riding away from the field, which really set up this showdown at Worlds that could not have played out any better. And you had the two top protagonists getting tangled up there. Wout was the guy who was able to react and gather himself and use that as motivation and get back into the race. Vanderpool wasn't. And yeah, just a stunning season. You know, won the Super Prestige, won the B-Post Trophy, won the World Cup, won the World Championship. You really, the European Championship, only jersey that he didn't win. It's tough.
Yeah.
He won the Belgian National Championship. Tough to top that. And if you saw the picture that came out today of the awards banquet from the B-Post Trophy with Swick, Vanderhaar, Sven, Wout, and Pauwels, wearing this amazing suit and bow tie, he even dresses better than all of them.
I think one of the best things you guys both said about Wout Van Aert right there is that when Vanderpool did come back, went, you know, runs it off a streak, is really showing signs that he might actually have more power than anybody out there. Van Aert didn't let it shake him, kept his cool, still comes back and wins Worlds, even though, you know, basically by controlling that race and just riding a really smart race. So hats off to the guy. I can't argue with you at all. So
yeah, and I mean, it shows something that you could argue that, well, Vanderpool could have won except for he was involved in a crash, but the person he was in the crash with is the guy that won,
right?
Yeah. And not crashing is part of the race. I mean, that's
it's a critical part in a lot of races.
All right, let's move on to the women. Women, CXer of the year, elite women. My pick, I've mentioned her already as most surprising rider. I'm going to go with Caroline Mani. I think riding a season in the U.S., having great results, just basically being one of the people to beat out there in the women's field in the U.S. this season, goes over and rides a great – I mean, her World Cup races were all great. She rode, you know, as much as she could over there, goes out, gets on the podium at Worlds. I think her season as a whole, from beginning to end, again, really is a shining example of what a CX racer can be. Just really glad I got to see her ride so much this season. Go ahead,
and
David.
Did you ever see her riding without a smile?
Never, or a grimace, or some kind of facial expression.
Tongue flailing about.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Michael Jordan of women's cyclocross.
Yes. Yep. Plus, you know, I got to meet her this year. I think I told the story. She comes up to me. She was looking for Courtney McFadden. She comes up to me. She saw I had Courtney's bike, and she's like, "Hi, I'm Caroline." You know, like, introduces herself to me, making no assumptions that I would know who she was. You know, just, you know, "Hi, I'm Caroline." I'm like, "Hey, yeah, I know who you are."
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, just really, really nice person. So, who's next, David?
Nikki Harris.
Good choice.
And she really kind of, especially towards the end of the season, the woman's been riding in the shadow maybe of Helen Wyman for some time. But she's really been coming of age, especially towards the end of this season. I've been really impressed by Nikki Harris.
Excellent choice. Bill.
Tanya Kant.
Ah.
I mean, not to go with the obvious for just a great season, you know. And again, coming up short in Worlds. But beyond that, she really put together, I think, an even more solid season than she had last year. One thing that I will say about your pick with Mani and also, you know, riders like Compton, it's just, and we've said this before, but it's just more confirmation of, unlike the men's fields, the women's fields can race in the U.S. and it can make them competitive on the world scene.
Yeah.
Because they're
Katarina Nash, too. Yeah.
Right. Because they're seeing some of the best racing domestically. When they go over to Europe, they're not that step behind that I think the men sometimes fall into where they have to play catch up. They're already there because they're already racing against the best. So I think that that is a Mani's season in the World Cup races is a is as much a tribute to her as it is to domestic U.S. racing.
Yeah, absolutely.
By all means, yeah.
All right, moving on to U23. It's my pick. I'm going to be a total homer on this pick, and I'm picking Drew Dillman. The reason why, like I said, embodies what a cyclocross racer is. Drew's weekend at Cincy with what that kid did. Basically, if I had a young rider coming into the sport, I would want them to watch what Drew Dillman did the weekend at Cincinnati as far as overcoming adversity on Saturday and then coming back and riding like he did on Sunday. To me, is one of the strongest things I've ever seen in cyclocross, and I got to give it up to Drew Dillman. He's my U23 pick for CXer of the year. David?
I got to go with the obvious. I'm going with Ellie Easerbeat.
Yeah. Hard to argue.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough said, Bill.
So don't argue. It's hard. It's too hard, then don't bother.
I'm going with him, too.
Yeah, that's a great pick. It's a great pick.
You know, I mean, we've said it before, going from the juniors, jumping into the U23s, taking a couple races to find his feet, and then just dominating that field as well. Another, you know, moment we could put in most controversial moment. I don't know if it's controversial, just sort of weird, was Adam Tupalik celebrating a lap early, which really, you know, sealed the deal for Easerbeat. I think he was able to sort of work through that and then just sort of work over Tupalik when it came to the sprint the next lap. So yeah, I mean that kid is the real deal, and I think that Sven is very happy that he is in the Telenet kit.
Absolutely. U23 women. I'm picking Evie Richards. Gotta be. She's my pick. U23. I think it's just cool to see something like still happen. You know, someone that hasn't raced outside of their country in that sport. I know she did in mountain bikes, but and then to come in and win the world in dominant fashion like that, I think she's my U23 women's pick for CXer of the year, even though I only got to see her at Worlds, but that's all right. David.
I'd have to go with Evie Richards as well, with an honorable mention to Ellen Noble.
Yeah, I agree. Is that it? Did you want to expand on that?
Yeah, you know, there's not much to say that you haven't already said. And, I mean, Ellen Noble, to her credit, the way she performed so well here in the U.S., she did not have a great Worlds this year, but she certainly, for someone that's just starting out her potentially long career in women's CX worldwide, she was really starting to show herself.
Bill.
I'm pretty excited about the U23 women's field as a whole. Speaking with Amanda Nauman earlier, you know, and one of the things she was worried about with trying to make it into that top 50 was all of the 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds that, you know, were in front of her, and it just shows how strong that field can be. And if we get that category at more World Cup races or all World Cup races, it's going to be an amazingly competitive category. There's a lot of women out there that are doing great things, and it really bodes well for the future of women's cyclocross domestically. Yeah, Ellen Noble, also Emma White, you know, two women that had great years, were always at the top of these races domestically, and will really be the future of cyclocross for the U.S.
I agree, and I think one of the things we said right after the U23 women's race at Worlds, the show we did right after that, was that Worlds race really solidified this as a legit, totally legit category, you know?
Yep.
And I think, and that's great, and I can't wait to see more of it.
You know,
it,
and this is the thing. We made fun of, you know, jokingly, this huge gap in the schedule at Worlds that was built in there to make the organizers money by having everybody in the beer tents just getting completely lit before right. before the men's race. But it's kind of ridiculous. You could add two more races. You yeah. could you could have a junior women's race as well.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Absolutely.
So or like one more race. So even it out. Let's have men's, women's, U23, juniors, elite, you know, for both men and women, for all those categories. And it's really no skin off of the organizers' back to have that extra race. And it just builds a sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Now I wonder what the talent pool is there. I'm just shooting from the hip on this as I have no clue, but it would be a shame to see them put a race in and not have the, you know, a quality race be there. So if the talent's not there yet.
Yeah. Well, let's have the goal of building it by having the U23 women's race for all of the World Cups.
Yeah,
I agree.
And then, or the ones that can have it. I know they're going to have it in the U.S. because they're only going to have the elites. That's just, you know, logistically the way it's going to work. But try to work it in there, and then the juniors will come from that.
Yep. Yeah, I'm hoping that's what happens, because it's certainly not. You're not. I think unless it's a championship race, I don't think you can have a U23 women's race, UCI level race yet, or you couldn't this year. But I don't know about next year. So. All right, CXer of the year for the juniors. I'm going to do a two-headed pick here. I'm going to go with Michael Crispin and Thomas Bonnet from France getting second and third at Worlds.
Those are good picks, and that's the thing about France that, you know, goes right into this discussion we were just having. If you look at where France was successful, you know, other than Mani, it was at the younger age groups, and they just were amassed at the front of those races. So there's a bright future in French cyclocross.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things in this category. Again, this category is not the best person of the year. It's just things that embody what you like to see in cyclocross, and I think this is one of them, that those two French kids could get out there, ride a great race at Worlds, and get the two spots on the podium together was just awesome, in my opinion. So, Bill, you want to go next?
I'll go with the obvious one. Jens Dekker was just class all the way through. You know, he ran away from that field all year long, was strong, and he is a Dutch rider that we are going to be seeing a lot from. I think he's part of that next wave after the youth movement that we are already experiencing at the top of the game right now.
Yeah, yeah. David.
I'm right with Bill on this one. Jens Dekker. I mean, kudos to the French, by all means, but Jens Dekker's got this one.
Great picks, guys. All right. Well, that's six of our seven categories. Our final category. This is the big award. This is the most prestigious award, is to get one of our three choices for this. You guys realize this, right?
I think I do.
It's big.
It is the They Don't Do That in Europe Being Excellent Award. Now, this award can be given to a racer, can be given to a mechanic. It can be given to anyone involved in cyclocross in any way, shape, or form. I think we left off. David, it is your turn to choose first. Go ahead for your award for the Being Excellent Award. They Don't Do That in Europe. Hit us.
For his contributions to the sport as a racer, but even more so for his contributions to the sport, as the spokesman of the sport, as the person that brings the sport out of just Europe and out and amongst the other countries, in particular, his efforts in helping bring it to the U.S., I have to go with Sven.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah, excellent. I think that's a great season to pick him.
And I'm glad that I got to go first on this one.
You think we're all going to pick Sven?
I just think he was a good one.
No, he is a good one. Bill.
Yeah, that's a good one. But if I take this in another direction and just go with what we would, the name of the show, the name of the award, that they don't do that in Europe, Being Excellent. If we have anything that I think shows what we jokingly came up with the name, They Don't Do That in Europe, it is the Zolder course and it is the forest. And it is a feature like having them ride through trees, which I just absolutely love. And it was a dynamic part of the race. It was something where, you know, in one lap, Sven went all the way to our right and chose this line that no one else was choosing through the trees, and then he was sort of slaloming through the trees, and then that's where he made his move. And then the next lap, you know, no one had taken that lap. Next lap, like Lawrence Swick goes all the way to the right where he had been, you know, or their left where he had been the lap before, and then they're all going that way. You know, and it's just, it's fun stuff like that that you're not going to see if there's not this, you know, 100-meter-wide course with a freaking forest plopped down in the middle. And then they did it even, you know, up on the hill where they had a tree in the middle of a turn.
Yeah.
Where you were hauling down this hill and then, you know, had to either go inside or outside of the tree. So it's that kind of stuff that I love about cyclocross. I love that that's the distinguishing factor between what we do here in the U.S. where we need a course that's going to be safe for everyone compared to what we see in Europe where it's these freaking superheroes that can do these things and go off of ledges that we would really not want to go off of and go screaming down hills into trees. And that's what I, you know, that's what I love about the sport. And I love watching these athletes being able to handle this what is thrown at them and just, you know, race it like it's no problem.
Awesome. And that said, Bill, you know, there's two parts of that. One is what it does for line choice and what it does for how dynamic it is and how it changes the whole aspect of the race. The other piece of it is how beautiful it is and what a piece of art that particular forest in particular, that piece of that course. With the camera angle that they have on it, it just looks great.
Poetic?
Yeah.
Sure, poetic.
No, but it's
No, I totally
agree. It's having those things that just set up these moments. I mean, I know all three of us were screaming at our computers when Lars Vanderhaard made that pass on. You know, I'm talking to Powers about this turn, this left-hand turns, and he's like, it's insane. You have no traction. You're just hauling down there. You know, they have the little bouncy castle barricade at the bottom, but behind that is the cement jersey barrier for the Zolder F1 course.
Right.
So it's you know, there's really no bailing out. You know, So yeah, and just being able to watch these guys do this and do amazing things like that pass is just that's why I will never not love this sport.
When you talk to Jeremy, did you guys happen to talk about that descent?
Yes.
And what I just am trying to think of what he would even think or what anybody that does that even thinks about it. Is it just like, no, I'm not touching those brakes and I'm just closing my eyes and hoping for the best? Or
yeah, I mean,
is
it's
he under
it's,
complete control in that? Or
I think that you have to have faith in your skills, I think is the way that he put it. You're not braking. You're just going all out, but you have to be able to have faith that you can execute, and that's what it all comes down to, you know, being able to execute in those moments.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your award goes to a course feature.
It did.
Yes, I love it. All right, I guess I'm last. This is the last award of the evening for my They Don't Do That in Europe Being Excellent award. I'm gonna give this to the organizers of U.S. Nationals. Asheville Sports Commission. This thing, you know, we were all, when that was announced, it was going to be at the Biltmore. At first, everyone was like, all right. And then some of the logistics started coming out, and they just started catching so much crap and questions. And how is this going to be work? This is going to be a disaster. The parking is going to be a problem. We got to pay what? You know, blah, blah, blah. One thing after another. They handled it with pure professionalism, the best CX Nationals I've ever been to in the U.S. And I just think the way that they handled it is just exactly what I think of when I think of being excellent. It was just what they did was just perfect. Couldn't have been any better. Dispelled all the anxiety that people had and was, like I said, the best Nationals, just the best event. I went to every C1 this year around the country. Nothing came close to U.S. Nationals, which is how it should be every year. So for being excellent, I got to give it up to them, Asheville Sports Commission.
It's a good call.
And on top of that, they had a kick-ass course design.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
You know, thinking about that course as well, and it still just strikes me that they could have made it harder.
Right, right.
You know, as hard and amazing as that course is, like for the Bonk Breaker Hill, you only went halfway up it.
Yeah, yeah. Could have kept going. It could have been twice as long.
And yep. then you could have gone up the top, and then you could shot down and made it even faster on that descent into the woods.
You could have gone up it twice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that venue is awesome. I think that the people who are applauding your decision more than anybody are the organizers in Hartford, who, instead of doing what Asheville had to do coming off of Austin.
Yes.
And I think there was a lot of PTSD, and that's what led to a lot of people sort of freaking out before the event after what they went through the year before in Austin. Now Connecticut gets to sort of chill out a little bit and know that there was, you know, a successful event, and we have confidence in this event again. And yeah. I think that one hopefully will go smoothly from you know, weeks before until the last day.
Yeah, people going into it shouldn't be as nervous next year.
I mean, logistically, that's probably very true. The flip side of that is
they got a high bar.
Exactly. They got a lot to live up with, yeah. live up to. And, you know, I hope they have a really dialed in venue that's going to offer all kinds of great course features, because like Scott just said, they've got a lot
yeah.
to live up
no,
to.
No, that bar is definitely high. Absolutely. And
as it should be, by the way.
Right.
As it
right.
should.
Yeah. All right, guys. What a great show, man.
I think we did it.
Yeah, it was.
Bill, do you want to tell us how people can get in touch with you?
Sure, Scott. they can go to cxhairs.com, also on Twitter at cxhairs and Instagram at cxhairs, also on Facebook if you search for, I believe, In the Crosshairs, cxhairs.com.
Cool. David?
I am Mr. David Palin on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me somewhere on Facebook probably too. I'm also hanging out every day now at Fraser's Bicycles in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Doing racing. We'll have March 19th. The Waterloo Grit and Gravel. We're coming down to the final strokes of getting that thing all dialed in and ready to race. We get
yeah.
over.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We're all getting pretty geeked for it.
Are you are you racing too?
I will not be. I am the race director. And,
when are you? When's your first gravel endeavor?
That's March 19th. Is the race which I'll be directing.
Yes. No. I want to know when you're toeing the line.
I will likely be at Paris-Roubaix a month
okay.
later in April.
All
hey,
right.
is Crystal coming out for that one too, Scott?
I don't know. We got to put pressure on Crystal to get back out here for that. I hope she's listening.
Yeah, no better place to do it than here. But
yeah. right.
I don't know. Hopefully. I will be at the Waterloo Grit and Gravel, and people can find me, Scott Diedenbach, at CyclocrossNet on Twitter, cyclocrossnetwork@gmail.com. If you want to shoot me an email, or just cyclocrossnetwork.com on the web. Guys,
hey,
great
Scott.
Show.
Hey, one more thing. I got one more thing. One more thing to plug.
Yeah, go for it. Bill first.
Wednesday nights, Crystal City. If you're in the D.C. metro area or Virginia or Maryland, come to Crystal City on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday in March, we'll have our underground races in the parking garage, underground parking garage races. It's legit.
You know, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
It's on my notes because I heard it. I remember we mentioned it on the show a year ago.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about it this year.
Last year was a success. We're hoping to do even better this year. It's an awesome event. No injuries last year. Perfectly safe.
Are you going to have a drifters category?
That would be good.
You got to, after coming out of...
We got men's beginners, intermediate. We got a women's category. We're going to have a fixed gear race in there at some point. We'll have a cargo bike race in there at some point.
Fat tire?
We should have a fat tire. Hey, we'll have like an anything goes race. So if you want to bring your fat bike,
you
can do that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, David, what are you going to finish off with?
We were going to just also mention, for those that want to come and see me and race against Scott at Waterloo. That's epicraces.com.
Yeah.
Under their cycling events, epicraces.com.
Information, register, etc. So, well, guys, now that the season is officially over, it seems like just yesterday I was sending out that first tweet at Rochester when the first field went off and we were starting the season. And now it's over. What are we going to do? When we do more shows, we're going to do some shows, probably some fill-in shows here and there, right?
Yeah.
Over the off-season?
We can't stay away.
When big topics come up, we'll definitely come back and keep the people informed, right?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Hey,
all right, guys. Go ahead, David.
Bill, I sent a couple people your way. We couldn't keep them in Ann Arbor any longer. So,
yeah, I need to get back, and they are on my list.
It's
a long list right now.
I bet it is. But if nothing else, hopefully they're listening to this show, and they will start showing up at Crystal City.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, guys, take it easy. We'll talk again soon.
Have a good one.
Later.
Bye. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to Crosshairs Radio. We're going to keep on going through the off season. We'll be back with you soon with another episode. Follow along with us at cxhairs.com. Also, let me know your thoughts, comments, feedback, concerns. Feedback at cxhairs.com. And we will see you next time.